Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, in the last few weeks I've been preaching at about one verse per week through Luke chapter 10 as we look at Jesus sending out 72 of his disciples into his mission and his harvest field. And we've kind of hopefully built a foundation for attitudes and actions in regard to mission in the first four verses. And so tonight we want to focus in particularly on Luke chapter 10, verse 5, and possibly verse 6. Let's see if we get there. Tonight I'm going to ask random people, or maybe not random people, but people to read out particular verses. So if you want to have your pew Bible ready, that would be great. Steve, can you read out for us Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 5? Thanks, Steve. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Sounds like a pretty simple thing, really, doesn't it? But there is some really important stuff in here about God's mission and how he gifts us and also sends us as his people. And to understand this, we really need to have a bit more of a look at that word peace. Now, many of us might have an idea of peace that looks something like the father's idea of peace from Serenity from the movie The Castle. So much serenity. Perhaps that's what most of us have in mind when we think of the word peace. A nice quiet place to go, a bit of relaxation time, a bit of time to get it all back together. But the word peace, as Jesus and his disciples understood it, has a lot more to it than just how's the serenity. The word peace in Hebrew is shalom. And shalom is an amazing word in the scope of its meaning. And I want to have a bit of a look at that meaning with you now. You might not be able to read this very well, that's okay. This is from Mark Sayer's book, The Vertical Self. I'll read the whole context. Jesus says in John's Gospel that the gift he brings to the world is the gift of peace, or shalom, a peace that is unlike the peace the world offers. The English word peace doesn't fully capture what Jesus was getting at. Too often when we read the word peace in the Bible, we think of the absence of war or the cliched concept of peace or serenity peddled by spas and massage centres. But when Jesus spoke of shalom, the word held a whole wealth of meaning for his Jewish listeners. Shalom means wholeness, balance, well-being, safety, and prosperity. It is everything in its right place, life exactly as God planned it, life without the effects of sin, evil, and death. Many Christian writers of late have explored the social, political, and economic dimensions of the concept of shalom, yet not many have explored what shalom means for the individual. The reach of God's dream of shalom moves from the whole of creation all the way down to us as individuals. It is us as we were originally meant to be, whole, balanced, safe, in the perfect will of God. So when Jesus tells his disciples to say shalom to this house, that is the scope of the message that he is entrusting them with. And in fact, as we look at the whole life of Jesus, we discover that as Jesus moves into our neighborhood to this planet in the incarnation, at both the beginning and end of his life, peace, shalom, is being proclaimed. Jesus has come with a message of peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. Who's going to get there first? I'll get Leona to read this passage. This is a Christmas passage. It's a famous one, but it shows that Jesus has come to bring peace. Thanks, Leona. Right here at the birth of Jesus, the angels are proclaiming that Jesus has come to bring God's shalom. How much more that means than simply saving our souls so that we get to heaven when we die. Jesus has come to bring the whole vast scope of well-being and rightness with God and everything in its right place and being set free from sin and death and the effects of evil. That's Jesus' mission. He's come to bring peace to you and to me. And that's why it's such good news that the angels announce that Jesus has been born. We see this also at the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry. After his resurrection and before he ascends to heaven. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 39. So the first words the resurrected Jesus says to his disciples is shalom. Peace be with you. The whole scope of God's redemptive work has come to this point where Jesus has conquered the powers of sin and death and hell and the devil, and he comes to bring that same peace in all its scope to his disciples, to you and me, as well as the ones who were gathered in that room on the first Easter. There could be no greater blessing than shalom be upon this house. Imagine what kind of community we would be if we know that we bear this peace of God, and everywhere we go, we work and pray and intend that God's embracing shalom will come to the people with whom we interact, will come to this home or this house or this relationship or this university or this workplace. You see, Jesus has made us, as people on his mission, bearers of God's shalom. People who can actually bring it to pass in some way or other that God's presence is here, making everything right and putting everything in its right place. So peace be upon this house is not just a nice thing to say, it's a performative word. It brings something of what it speaks. We become the bearers of Jesus' peace. We have received it. We are forgiven and we are being transformed and renewed in all our parts of our life, and we pass it on to others. So with these words, Jesus authorizes his disciples to bring the whole scope of shalom into the places where they go. I've actually started praying this for the places that I visit. Shalom be upon this house, this university. And it has begun to open my eyes to see that God loves this place and these people. And he wants them to be redeemed and fulfilled in all of the ways that shalom describes. What an immense privilege we have to be commissioned by Jesus to not only say, but work and pray for shalom be upon this house. And that means that we as Christians have a mission of peace. And in our participation with God in his bringing of good news to the world, there should be no coercion. There should be no bad news that Christians bring along with the gospel. And we find that particularly strongly put in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Always be prepared to give an answer for your hope. This is the heart of evangelism and God's mission. But do it with gentleness and respect, without coercion or without trying to force someone to your own viewpoint. The Uniting Church has put out a document that talks about evangelism, and it says some really interesting things, which I think are very important for us. Evangelism is that non-coercive practice in which the church as the community of Jesus embodies and proclaims the love and saving grace of the triune God. Bound to the way and purposes of the crucified one, the church must never allow its evangelistic practices to be predatory or violent, but always wanting the ultimate welfare of the other. Evangelism's task is to make the other lovingly aware of what has been graciously given to the church for the sake of the world. It's not about Bible bashing. It's not about trying to force scripture down someone's throat or to argue and convince them to share your viewpoint. It's about sharing the self-giving love of God in a way that is always good for the other person. It's about sharing life and peace and forgiveness and grace with them. Peace, shalom, be upon this house. Now we need to look a bit more carefully at that word too, because just as with the word peace in English, the word house maybe doesn't carry all of the meaning that Jesus was intending. In Greek, the word house is oikos. I love this word. I've been preparing this sermon and my daughters have been asking me, Dad, what is oikos? What is oikos? And I said, you'll find out on Sunday night. What is oikos? Oh, it's the sound made by a small guinea pig. Oikos, oikos. Oikos in the New Testament does not just mean the physical building. And if we look at Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34, we can see the importance of this word for our engagement with God's mission. We won't read all of that. I'll just get someone to read. Hang on. Anyway, this is the story about Paul and Silas being in prison. And they're singing hymns to God, and then an earthquake comes, and the chains fall off, and the doors fly open. And so, from verse 27, can someone read from verse 27 to 31? That word is oikos. You will be saved, you and your oikos, your whole family, your network of interconnected relations. This is really, really important. We can see something similar in Acts chapter 10, which is the story of Peter going to Cornelius' house. And when he gets there, he finds that Cornelius has gathered all of his friends and relations, and there's a huge gathering of people in the house. We won't read that verse, but the same concept is at work there. And so oikos is not just building, but family, or even better, household. Or perhaps in our modern context where family and household have kind of got all sorts of connotations, network of interconnected relationships. So Jesus tells his disciples to say, peace be upon this network of relationships. Peace be upon this significant group of people who meet together for a common purpose, whatever that might be. When you are engaged in mission, you are engaged in mission not just to individuals, but to oikos groups. One of my significant oikos groups is my cricket club. And it was with great joy that one of the members of my cricket club came to faith in Jesus when I was in Queensland, and I was able to baptize him and his family. So, in your mission as God's people, it's really important to think through this question, what is my oikos? Or what are my oikoi? That's the plural. What are the networks of significant interconnected relationships that I am involved with that God has placed me in as a person who bears and brings the shalom of God to that place? And I've got some little diagrams here. Everyone's kind of connected to someone. TJ will know people and be connected with them in a way that I don't and can't and never will be able to. And so TJ is the one who is able to bring God's shalom and the gospel of Jesus into those oikos relationships. Part of the point about that is that the people to whom we bring good news also have other oikos groups. And they may be the people that God has put in that place to be able to bring that good news to those people who we can't reach. It's really important to think through, what are your networks? How has God placed you into those relationships? And in what way can your presence bear the shalom of Jesus into those networks? So Jesus says, when you enter a house, when you go into significant relationships, first say, shalom be upon this oikos. Jesus talks about a person of peace in Luke chapter 10, verse 6. This is really important as well, and we'll try and get through it really quickly. Luke 10, verse 6. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. I believe that in every significant group of relationships, God has placed people who can be considered a person of peace. What is a person of peace? A person of peace is one who is hospitable to both the message and the messenger. One who is willing to give time and space, even if they don't yet believe it, to the good news and the one who bears the good news. And these people can be utterly different and utterly surprising. I'll just a couple of quick examples. An Egyptian eunuch returning from worshipping in Jerusalem is reading the Gospel of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and Philip comes and hears him reading that passage, and then he jumps up with him in the chariot and explains God's good news. A rough, tough, murderous, suicidal jailer in Philippi, which we read a tiny bit of that story just before, becomes a person of peace as he sees the work of God and he falls to his knees and says, what must I do to be saved? He's open to the gospel. And then, in a fantastic turnaround, he hosts Paul and Silas for a celebration meal after he and his family have been baptized. And in Acts chapter 16, it talks about the joy that the jailer has as he does this act of hospitality towards the messenger and the message. Acts 16, verse 32 to 34. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This jailer had become a person of peace, one who was hospitable to the message and to the messenger. And so the question for you is to pray through and to think about who might be the person of peace, even if they don't know it yet, in the oikos relationships that you're connected to. Who might be a person who's hospitable to both the message and the messenger? They might look totally, totally unlike a person that you would expect to become a Christian at this point. That's okay. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them, Jesus says. And even if a person is not a person of peace, your peace will return to you. So you don't have to meet hostility with hostility, but with love and grace and forgiveness. In Luke 10, verse 5 and 10, verse 6, we learn three incredibly important concepts for our mission as God's people. The first one is that understanding of shalom, that God wants to bring his peace to the whole person, to all the relationships, to the economics and the well-being and the spiritual and the physical part of that person's life. The second is that one of oikos. What are your interconnected relationships and how may God be using them in his mission? And the third one is that one of a person of peace, one who is hospitable to both the messenger and the message. Jesus has brought his shalom to you. He is in the process of making all parts of your life as they should be and connecting you to God and to God's will. Jesus has also given to you the authority to bring that peace into your relationships. Imagine what our community would be like if all of us understand and live out of and give to others the shalom that God has given to us through Jesus. Amen.